And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be Emilio Danilo. In this special episode of College Talk, we are calling this our early season review. We're going to talk about basically what has happened with Fulham so far this season, three matches in. We're also going to be talking about the signing of Tim Ream for Fulham Football Club. That's how we're going to start the show. This is a short episode, but we wanted to get everyone updated on our thoughts on what has been going on with the season so far. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my Cottage Talk co-host, Emilio, and let's get it going. Emilio, how are you doing, my friend?
Hello there, Russ. How are you? I'm good, thanks. You're doing well?
I am doing well, my friend. I'm doing well. It's always great when I could talk to you about Fulham Football Club, and we're going to do that for about 30 minutes tonight. You know, not that long. We're just going to have a quick early season review. We are three matches in, and unfortunately, Emilio, the results haven't gone our way so far.
Not at all. It's, you know, admitted on Sunday, you know, I was trying to stay very optimistic and staying positive when I did the show on with Yanis. And, you know, there are signs of encouragement. You know, the results may not suggest that, but if you look at performances and, you know, early season, it'll be nice to hit the ground running, start getting some victories and to boost the confidence. But there are some encouraging signs there. May not be the Fulham faithful may not see that, but 1 point from nine doesn't suggest that. But last night's game, last season, we would have lost 3-0. The fact that it took a late goal for Hull City, a former Premiership team, a fairly strong team, one of the favourites to go back up, and to nick a late goal against a run of play, that's not a bad position to be. I know we didn't get anything on the board in terms of points, but last season we would have lost that comfortably 3-0. So there is progress. It might not be as quickly as some fans would like, but we need to be patient and realistic. And, you know, there's some fans are suggesting we need to get promoted this year financially. I agree. But, you know, it was always going to be a 3-year plan. Not many fans were expecting promotion this season. So the results are suggesting we're not ready to get promoted. But let's just maybe it'll be good to just reflect on, you know, our first few performances, you know, where maybe there's gaps in the squad. And, you know, I think things can get better, but, you know, there needs to be a few more changes to see light at the end of the tunnel. But it won't be the doom and gloom we had last season. I'm confident of that. But if we're going to expect promotion this season, then fans should think again.
Well, what's interesting, Amelia, you know, I'm not giving up hope on that. And I hear where you're going on that. We have to be realistic. You know, again, you and I have talked off air that if it doesn't happen this season, I truly believe it's going to happen fairly soon. Because you've said this, you believe it's a 3-year plan, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that. If it happens this season, that would be great. I still see it as an opportunity to get in the top six, even three matches in. You know, again, it doesn't look like that, but like you said, there are signs of improvement from last season. If we're comparing it to last season, I can definitely see a completely different Fulham side. So I'm happy with the fact that I think that we're heading in the right direction, but there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And three matches in, it doesn't look good, but we'll see how things play out because, believe it or not, Emilio, if you look at the fixtures coming up, there are some winnable matches coming up soon. So we could go from where we are right now to the top of the table very quickly if they get some of these victories, and several of them are at home. And obviously it's going to start with our next match against Huddersfield Town. But before we go really into a review, Emilio, I want to talk about something that actually we do have some breaking news. You know, again, Fulham actually did make a signing today, Emilio. They signed Tim Ream. He's a 27-year-old American center back / left back. Again, he comes to us from Bolton. He signed, I believe, a 4-year deal for Fulham. Again, the details are undisclosed, but I think we all have a decent idea of how much Fulham paid for it based on what we've been reading, what the speculation is. But I just want to get your thoughts on this signing for Fulham.
You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, let's look at the current defence. And we know we've had problems for the last two or three seasons, and we've been crying out for some strength and depth in that area. I'm not going to dwell too much on what we talk on week in, week out, but you know, the fact it's taken, you know, mid to the middle of August or beyond to actually make a signing is disappointing when we've known for 4 months ago we need to do something quickly in that space. Tim Ream, you know, he's been player of the season at Bolton Wanderers. He's an international for the US. Is he an inspirational signing? No, I don't think he is. Is he an improvement to what we've currently got? Yes, he is. And so on the balance of play, let's say just it's an improvement to what we've got. Am I inspired? Not necessarily. Again, it reemphasizes my point. This is a 3-year plan. Will we be tighter with Tim Ream in defense? I think we will. Do we need to replace both central defenders? No, I don't. I think Hutchison, for example, I'm a big advocate of him. I was critical of him 12 months ago, but I've seen a different Sean Hutchison, especially the last second half of last season, this season so far. And put aside the mistake he made last weekend, he's been a rock in that defense. And he's the one who gives me the most confidence of our central defenders at the moment. Strong, physical, dangerous from set pieces. And I saw Mike Gregg's notes from last night's game that he believes he was man of the match. So that's very encouraging. And I've said for quite some time now, he's our most improved defender and probably the best of the three. If Hutchinson and Tim Ream in central defence would be stronger, yes, we will. There might be a better rapport there. But, you know, maybe they can both speak the same language rather than Hutchinson struggling to communicate with Bodrov, as was the case last night on a few instances. But he will improve the defence. Is that going to be and a defence that will set the world alight? No, it won't. And we will still have gaps. It won't be the all-signal Dunza defence. And I still don't think that will be strong enough to push us further up the table than where our expectations are, which is, in my opinion, still top 8, top 9. So it will make it tighter. We won't be, but we haven't been conceding as many goals this season as we did last year either. So hence the improvement of a solid midfield who are defensively stronger, more creative. That's going to put less pressure on the defence. And our possession rate suggests we are less than last season. We appear to be a little bit more dangerous than last season. And defensively, we seem to be a lot tighter. So these are positive signs 3 games into the season. So
definitely,
to answer your question, Tim Ream, it will improve the defence. Am I 100% inspired? No, I'm not. But it's certainly an upgrade to what we've currently got. And I think him and Hutchinson potentially could do a strong job there, or stronger than what we've seen in the past.
Listen, I think it definitely is an upgrade. Now, the question is, what position will he play, Emilio? Because he has played a great deal at left back with Bolton. And right now, obviously, we are dealing with an injury to Luke Garbutt. So he could potentially play left back, but we need help at center back. And I'm glad that you brought up Sean Hutchinson. I just talked to our co-host, Mike Gregg, about him. And he was actually raving about him in the last match. And I agree, based on what I watched on the replay, Sean Hutchinson got it done. So the question is, where does Tim Ream fit in, Emilio? I say you probably are going to play him at center back, but he does have the flexibility to play left back. So again, option for Kit. He can play him at either position. Right now, Kai Voser's there. So maybe he puts him in a left back. I don't know exactly what Kit's plans are for him, but it's good that he does have the flexibility. What I do want to share with you, just a little bit of information about Tim Ream, because people have been asking me, because of course I'm an American, he's an American player, so they want to know what I know about Tim Ream. And all I can do to tell you is that he hasn't featured all the time with the U.S. men's national team. He's featured a little bit. I haven't really watched him with Bolton. I did see him a good amount with the New York Red Bulls, but that was 4 years ago. So what I decided to do to try to get some more information about Tim Ream was to call into a football show here in America. It's called Counterattack, and speak to these two hosts that actually know Tim Ream's game fairly well. And it's Tony Miolo, who watched him play for the New York Red Bulls and has followed his career, and Christopher Sullivan. And we had this discussion, and they basically described Tim Ream as a defender that is very good on the ball and can get the ball out of the back. That is his strength. He's very good, basically on the ball. Now, as a defender, you know, obviously he's a solid defender, but as a player that can get the ball out from the back, that's where he really shines, and that's what they were stressing with me. And they left me with this comment. Christopher Sullivan said, he said, Russ, if you had to choose between starting U.S. men's national team center back John Brooks and Tim Ream, he told me he would take Tim Ream. So I thought that was high praise, because the U.S. men's national team is very high on John Brooks, and Christopher Sullivan seems to think that he's a better player, Emilio, and that's a good sign. And these are two pundits that I actually have a lot of respect for. So I thought I would share that with you.
Well, that's very interesting. And I think what is created is maybe a bit of versatility in defense as well. So where you, you know, we've got players who can play in potentially various positions, a bit like Chris Baird. Let's tell you, maybe he could be a suitable replacement for Chris Baird, i.e. Chris Baird was versatile, played in various positions. Maybe Tim Ream could fill some of those voids. And initially, I'd expect him to go straight into central defence, in my opinion. Yep. Bodo's had a couple poor games since he's gone back into the first 11. Last week, he was hopeless against Brighton, made a mistake again last night. So I think he could potentially go straight in there. I think Rose is, you know, susceptible in, as a fullback. But, you know, hopefully, if Garbutt will be back in a few weeks' time, that will fill that gap. And so it gives him options, like you said, but, you know, he's an upgrade from what we've got. Is he a spectacular signing? No, he's not. But this goes back to, we're in the Championship. We've got to be realistic in terms of who we can sign. And again, it goes back to what I said on the show on Sundays. And in the past, you know, players have got to want to believe that Fulham Football Club can get back to the big stage. Do they believe in their ambitions? Do players believe in the manager? Do they want to play for the manager? So it's not all about, we were a Premiership club 18 months ago and we have a divine right to be there now. No, we don't have a divine right to. We have to earn that right. But players also have to be confident that the next move is the right move. Same, like I said, I keep saying for any job, my job is same in my industry. Before I move to my next employer, I've got to be certain that that employer will give me the right opportunities to progress in my career and to give me the opportunities that I want. And it's no different with a football club. If the player does not believe that Fulham has got prospects or a future or a manager they believe in, then you will look at other options. And that goes back to my point. How attractive is Fulham Football Club to potential young, established players? And I'm uncertain about that at the moment.
Listen, it's a very good point. Talking about young players, again, Fulham now have a couple of young players still on the last year of their, going into the last year of their deal, Emilio. And, you know, Matt Smith goes down with an injury. You know, again, you don't like to see players go down with injuries, but do you see this as a potential opportunity now for Moussa Dembélé?
Absolutely. You know, I've been crying out for him for over a year that he should be playing more regularly. And the fact that he wants to leave the club, or has expressed his wish to leave the club, again, that may be emphasised by the fact that he's not been given the opportunities by Kit. Maybe he doesn't believe in Kit either, or believe that the club has a future. So at his young age, he's got to say, well, this could be his opportunity. You know, Matt Smith injured, could be out for a while. Grab your chance while you can. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's got a good opportunity to start against Huddersfield, a winnable game on Saturday, like you said. And you know, if we play the right system and create those opportunities, that guy will punish you. But a bit like Darren Bent, you know, I still believe if we played Darren Bent to his strengths in the Premier League, we might have had more of a chance of surviving. But that's history now. And let's play Moussa Dembélé to his strengths. He gave the opposition problems against Cardiff a couple of weeks ago. He gave a few problems against Brighton when he came on late. He was strong. So there's encouraging signs there, but we've got to play to his strengths. You know, he will stretch defences, but he's also clinical in front of goal. Create those chances. Get Ross McCormack back to his best, and them two could have something going. You know, I prefer Dembélé to Woodrow. I think Dembélé, you know, head to head, you know, they're both strikers. They're both different players, but I think Dembélé will score a lot more goals, and you don't win games without scoring goals. So head to head, 9 times out of 10, I would put Dembélé up there. But let's see if he wants to stay at the club. Let's see, he's got 2 weeks before the transfer window ends. Let's get him in there against Huddersfield on Saturday. Possibly against Sheffield United next week, get some confidence, get some goals, and who knows, the season is yours, Dembélé. Prove yourself.
And no, your contract. I agree with you. I was going to say,
players have got to believe.
That's okay.
I've got to want to believe in the future of the club, and that's where I've got some reservations at the moment. The club isn't an attractive proposition to targets. That's what I'm worried about.
No, I hear you. I hear you, Emilio. Listen, I'm going to read out a tweet to you. Again, this goes actually back to Tim Ream, and then we'll move on. We'll talk about the early season review. We'll go back to our early season review. I found this interesting from Tony Khan. I don't know if you've seen this. It's official. Welcome, Tim Ream, U.S. Soccer, U.S. Men's National Team, the Fulham Football Club. This is great news for Fulham, and there will be more great news coming soon. Do you read into anything from this tweet from Tony Khan?
There's a lot of speculation out there. I think there's a lot of expectation that we will get more signings. Question is whether they're the right signings. You know, what is our plan? If we want to realistically push for promotion this season, I don't believe we've done enough so far to give ourselves the opportunity to get promoted. I think it gives us more of an opportunity to sustain mid-table, 10th place. If we want to go to the next level and really push for that top six finish, playoff position, then I think we're still a couple bigger name signings rather than these sort of these solid signings, solid unspectacular signings. I still think we're a couple players away from that. Maybe we do need a former Premiership player, a leader, someone with, you know, we've gone with this philosophy of getting all these young British players, obviously Tim Ream aside, but these young early mid-20 types of players have got a good 3 to 4 years ahead of them, can build, be part of the future of Fulham Football Club. But maybe we just need maybe one or two sort of more experienced professionals there just to make that squad a little bit more complete. Alternatively, if their focus is let's get the youth, breed them for the next 2 or 3 years, then that 3 year plan is more realistic. But you know, I think there are more signings. Maybe it's yesterday's injuries. Do we need another backup goalkeeper potentially? Do we need another forward? I still believe we do need another forward. You know, whether it's Dwight Gale or not is another matter, but I wouldn't pay £8 million for Dwight Gale, for example. I think we can get someone not as clinical, but you know, there are players out there that we could be targeting, but we're not going to pay silly money for that. I think the owner is very clear on that. You know, let's get the dependable signings, but let's not panic buy. But let's get strategic signings rather than signings just for 6 to 12 months. And you know, I believe that we all have one or two more acquisitions, but are they going to be the inspired ones that we're looking for? They're just going to be sort of a slight, you know, sort of an additional upgrade to what we've got at the moment. That's my worry. You know, can we attract the right players?
Well, what's interesting, and again, you know, you hear things, I hear things, and I'm hearing something, but again, I'm not going to comment on it. I'm just saying that I truly believe Fulham are working on one that you might consider inspiring, and I'll just leave it at that. They are working on something. They've been working on one for a long time. We'll see if it actually comes through, but I've got some indications that they're working hard on one, and we'll see if it happens. You know, it takes two to make a deal, Emilio, and we'll see if they can make it an inspiring one. I know the fans want an inspiring one. I do know that they are working on one that could potentially be in that category, but we'll see. You know, again, right now it's just speculation, and we'll see, because again, you know, we all want that inspiring signing that will say, hey, we're going for it. And, you know, again, the one that I'm hearing about, if they make it happen, then I think you'll be saying that. That's all. I don't want to say the person's name. We'll just say that I'm hearing things. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave it there. I'm going to tease you a little bit, Emilio. I'm going to leave it there.
There's a lot of speculation out there.
There's a lot, and I don't want to add to it. I'm just saying that I was told something today that was very interesting. I'll just leave it there. All right. Let's move on. And again, with our early season review, I want to go here. I want to talk about this article that was written today on Craven Cottage News Round by Richard Allen. I'm going to read it out, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because I find it kind of interesting. And there's one part of it that is very interesting. So I'm going to stop there, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So this is from Richard Allen's article today. It's called Fulham Wasted Talent. If you have a runny nose, you wipe it. But the runny nose is a symptom, not the real issue. By wiping it, you're doing some good, but not getting at the major problem. I say this because Fulham have conceded 3 goals late in matches, in 3 games, in fact, in the only 3 games they played, for that matter. But these late goals aren't, I don't think, about fitness, because these days most teams are fit enough to run for a whole game, if not more. No, the late goals are the snot on the team's face, and the snot is there because we have a cold, or try a breakout of a dreadful metaphor once and for all. The late goals are there because we're awful defensively. Okay, let's start there. I want to get your thoughts on Richard Allen's take about the 3 goals. He's talking about defensively. And I want to ask you, what do you think is the common denominator with these three late goals?
You know, I look back and, you know, we've traditionally had a problem with conceding late goals under Martin Jol. You know, we recall we conceded God knows how many late goals in the first season 2 years ago. I remember Cardiff City at home, Swansea at home. You know, there's various games where we conceded in the dying minutes and in injury time. So this is a tradition. It's not the first time. It happened under Sanchez. It happened under Jol. It's happening under Kit Simon. So is it concentration? Because the players don't necessarily look. But again, you start to make mistakes when you're either in a position where you're either in the game like we were last night, and, you know, give the club its dues. They were pushing to get that victory. That victory was there for the taking yesterday. I spoke to you on Tuesday night, and I was determined, confident we'd get something out of yesterday's game. In fact, it took a late winner to lose a game. It was very disappointing. But a lot of it's concentration, and the squad's not quite there yet. Tactically, it was maybe a little bit naive at times, and Kit's got to sort that out. But I see these last-minute goals, maybe Kit should be a little bit more bold in a way, because we've been strong in the second half in all these games. Haven't we been able to kill those games off? And the game against Brighton on Saturday, had we been 2-1 up or 3-1 up, Sean Hutchinson would not have made that mistake, or would not have committed to the foul and the challenge, in which case the game would have been won and buried. So we've got to be a bit more clinical with the chances we take. I don't think we're taking our chances. And that's a positive in the sense that if we're creating chances or in the game and being dominant at times, we weren't that like that last season. So these are all sort of softer type of benefits that we didn't see last year. And it's purely just concentration. And we start alleviating that by strengthening the defence, being less susceptible for counter-attacks like we have been in the last two or three games, being a lot more structured and with a bit more shape, then, you know, I think we can get there. But I'm not seeing a physique issue in certainly the game against Brighton and some of the highlights I've seen from the other two games. So I don't think the physique's the issue. It might be concentration. It might be the fact that we're trying maybe a little bit too hard to win these games rather than actually closing the game out. 1-1 away from Hull against a former Premiership team would not have been a bad result, a very good result. Like I said earlier in the show, we would have lost that game 3-0 last year. The fact it was still 1-1 after 86 minutes, and all, you know, we could have won that game on another day, that's saying something. But maybe there was an opportunity there just to close the game out, you know, tighten the midfield, change the shape slightly, just to protect the draw. Maybe Kit's come from one extreme to the other, like trying to win the game outright, as opposed to, well, okay, we've done well to come away with 86 minutes with a draw. Let's conserve this draw and come home with a point. So I think maybe slightly tactics, but I haven't seen evidence it's physique, in my opinion. I don't think it's that. It might be slight concentration, but we're not losing 3-1s and 4-1s like we were last season. That's encouraging. You know, the results aren't giving us the 3 points that we want, but let's give the team, I'm not saying the manager here, the team, the opportunity to improve performance, gel together as a team, and trying to find that shape. We've got new players. You know, that will take time for the team to settle. So I am trying to stay positive, although I don't think the manager is the right man. But we are where we are. Let's see what we can do with a squad of players. And if it's very clear and apparent that we're not going to start getting any victories under our belt, then a managerial change is going to be inevitable. But it's three games in, four if you include the cup game, and, you know, it's not gone as planned, but we were never targeting promotion, and that's my point. You know, we were always having a hard start to the game. I think we did a preview show over the summer when the fixtures came out, and I do recall it was Mike Gregg and David Harley saying those first six or seven games were pretty tough, and they weren't wrong. Not an easy start to the season, so let's remember that. I'd rather have the easier games when the team is a little bit more established, the gelling a bit more, the confidence level starting to increase. Then we should start to be picking up these victories at home and on the road. But three games in, we're not losing 3-1 or being hammered like we were last season. And we are stronger, we are tighter, we've got a good squad. And, you know, I've seen evidence to suggest there is improvement there. But whether it's enough remains to be seen.
Okay, very good. And listen, you know, There's been a good amount of talk about the Fulham manager. I personally have said, Emilio, you have to give him 10 games. That's me talking, okay? I think you need to give him 10 games. And there's a little frustration going on, but I do believe that this is a different team. But again, I respect other fans' views. And again, I'm just going to share this again, from Richard Allen's article, because again, you're really going to get a feel for his thoughts on Kit right now. Again, quote, what's galling at the moment is that this Fulham team, and let's be honest, this Fulham manager doesn't seem to have a plan or any evidence of having been coached. It feels like what would have happened if you just bought a group of players and told them to run around to keep fit in the week, then do their best on Saturday. This I'm aware. Does the hard work of the coaching staff an enormous disservice, but what other conclusion can you draw when by now all of the division can say that they've outplayed Fulham at least once in the last year? The fact remains, even Laurie Sanchez had a plan. It didn't work, but he had a plan. Martin Yeo had a plan. Felix certainly had ideas. But what's Kit Simons trying to do? Does anyone know? I, like all of you, like to think of myself as a reasonably good judge of a player. I look at the current lineup, and I don't have to do too much wishful thinking. I want a midfielder who knows how to defend, because we still haven't got one of those. And I want a left back. We might even have the latter if Garbutt can play. And people say he can. So it's really all there. That's probably why we're all so fed up, I think. Last year's team was a cobbled together farce. This time we have a young British core, and they are very capable. But we're wasting it because we have a manager who, at best, we can tell, doesn't know how to make the most of the talent he has available to him. It's really disappointing. That's from Richard Allen on Craven Cottage News Round. Now, Amelia, we only have about 3 minutes left. What are your thoughts about what Rich had to share there?
Yeah, I think he's expressing the thoughts of many fans out there. You know, at the end of the day, Kit's been in the job for almost a year. You know, we're not necessarily seeing the progress that we'd like to see. You know, the record speaks for itself. You know, poor win ratio over the last 25 games. You know, it's been widely advertised last night. I think 4 or 5 wins out of the last 24. Not good enough. But, you know, I don't think Kit is the right man. I've said that for 12 months or 10 months now. You know, I've been very clear about that. But I'm now going to, a little bit sitting on the fence, and let's just give him a few more games to see if results will start to turn. But I still strategically believe, I said it's, you know, on a couple of occasions in recent past, that we will have a managerial change in, you know, this season. You know, I still believe Big Sam is there for the taking. I've been, you know, I'm sticking to my guns. I've said that for 6 months now. And despite the abuse and criticism I've had, a lot of people are starting to jump on that bandwagon because I think he will get more out of these players. He's more experienced. But players will want to play for him. He's a big name. People want to play, come to a big club, a club with prospects, a club with opportunities, someone they can look up to. Can a young player look up to Kit Simons? No, they can't. No, he can't. And that's the issue. I don't disagree with the article, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, we all, as the faithful, encouraged Kit Simons to get the role. The club honoured that requirement. Now we've got, unfortunately, got to stick by him. I think that's the bottom line. And give him the 10 games. If the results don't turn around, then we will make a managerial change. And, you know, I will categorically say on this show now that there is stuff going on behind the scenes. I'm not going to say more than that. You know, I've got good inside knowledge that things are being looked at and things are being ramped up because performances aren't as expected and the shape of the team isn't what they want to see. So there's a lot of negatives still, but there's certainly more positive. Are those positives enough to give Kit Simons a long-term job? I'm not too sure they are, but let's see how it goes. Give him a few more games, but the club are doing something behind the scene. I'm certain of that based on some of the comments of people in the club that I know.
Okay, very good, Emil. Listen, we have to wrap up the show. We only have a few seconds left. Thank you so much for doing this with me and sharing your thoughts with
thank
our early
much.
Season review. I am
Russ
Coleman.
It's been good. Oh. Thank you.
No, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, Emilio. But like I said, we have to wrap this up. For Emilio Danella, for listening to Cottage Talk.
Good
cheers,
night,
Emilio.
Bye. Bye-bye. Boys.